So we pray, Heavenly Father, again, we want to voice our appreciation of your goodness and mercy to us, the love you shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, deep, firm convictions, Lord, which you give and maintain in our lives, that we can stand with truth, to rebuke evil, to be against that which is wrong. Help us, Lord, to be more like you in every way in this last hour. When people are looking for glorification, which would be the final step, we know there are steps in between. Each one of those steps, Lord, be fulfilled. We know they must be, they will be. We're praying concerning ourselves, Lord, there will be those in whom the steps are fulfilled. Grant further mercy this hour as our word comes to your word comes to our attention. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this is number 3 of the rising of the sun, and of course, I have no idea how long this will continue. But last Sunday and Wednesday, you'll notice that in the rising of the sun, Brother Branham used the term, the rising of the S-U-N, to typify the rising of the S-O-N. And remember also, as you must continue to do, that all Scripture has a present tense understanding, so that when you read the New Testament, you are reading a book that is absolutely pertinent and one with this hour. And that is not a matter of having 7 church ages elapsed, though that is true. It is what God's great plan was, and we are back to where the church went off of the track. And it's no longer off track, it is now on target. We see this rising of the sun is not actually the resurrection itself, though it is based upon the understanding of the resurrection, actually what was accomplished. For this word over here, in the 3rd chapter of Acts, where Peter is speaking concerning the end time, and he said to the Israelites, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you. So you'll notice the presence of the Lord is not the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in bodily form. Right? Now many people are still mixed up. They think we're trying to spiritualize the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is an error. It is not just an error. It is a malicious lie, because the gates of hell are against it, and that's part of the gates of hell. Now you may think this is tough preaching. Think what you want. I'm not here to please myself or to please anybody else. This is what the trouble is. They don't want, they simply will not listen. It says here, this presence, and that's anything which is visible to the eye, which means we do not see the pillar of fire, but we see the prophet who does see the pillar of fire, and we see the vindication, which we'll go into a little later and show you again from the viewpoint of the Apostle Paul. Now, it says, even he, that one, is going to send Jesus Christ. All right, listen, what did Jesus say? I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter, right? All right, and he was in it. So therefore, this one we are talking about is what Brother Branham designated. He said, this same pillar of fire, and he said, speaking reverently now, as it was before Sodom, while Lot was down in Sodom, he said, even so, that same pillar of fire, which is Elohim. And the pillar of fire comes upon this earth, and he shall send Jesus the Christ. All right. Who was appointed unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So this is absolutely 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. See? And then the dead in Christ arise first. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And that's the same understanding. The Lord said unto my Lord, remember, Jesus the man is the head of the church physically. There is a physical body. So therefore, this is the one we're going to meet in the air. Now it says the heavens must retain him until the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, the prophets of the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him you will hear in all things what shall be said. And that was literally to the Jews. And remember, he's got to come to the Gentiles according to Matthew 4 and Matthew 12 and the book of Isaiah, which will be in the Holy Spirit. Yea, and all the prophets, it shall come to pass every soul will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now, that did not happen back in the days of Jesus Christ on earth and even after Pentecost. In 70 A.D., they had already escaped. There were just so many that died. We have Israelites right today. And they were the carriers of the ones we have today. And remember, the seed in Israel is running out, and they're all going to be saved over the 144,000. What if the seed has run out and it's in America? Now let these thoughts percolate in your mind, because we do not do the things other people do. And so therefore we are suspected. We have no love. We have nothing. I disagree. They don't know what the prophet's teaching. They haven't taken time to find out. See? All right, now let's keep reading. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after. Now notice that Samuel post-dates Moses. Yet Moses is mentioned here. And Moses did not go into discernment. Moses was a face-to-face prophet. He didn't exercise gifts the way other men do. But when you come to Samuel, Samuel didn't write anything the way Moses did, but he stood there with the ability to discern and to judge. See, all right. We got there in a face-to-face. We got a man who didn't bring the word, but had plenty to do with the word. Now, Elijah forerunned. So we got Moses and Samuel and Elijah. But what would you do without the presence of the Holy Spirit here? So now you got Jesus, Lord Jesus, which we're speaking in terms of Jehovah, which is the same as Elohim, one God. Now you got the spirit of Moses. Now you got the spirit of Elijah. Now you got the spirit of Samuel for deliverance. All this brings you right to the place where those that don't hear are destroyed. Those that do not hear the end time prophet must die in the great tribulation. I'm sorry, that's how it's going to go. I've made my statement. If I am wrong in adding to the word, I will not die the death common to men. I'll be here. Now, it's kind of foggy to say a thing like that in a sort of bravado, and you don't know what you're saying. But I've got to admit it's the truth. Whether I can apprehend it and understand the sobriety and what I'm into, that doesn't matter. You'll be here. I'll be here. So let's get our wires uncrossed. All those in Israel that don't hear the two witnesses will die. They'll be dead. They'll be death by fire as it comes down on the earth. Now see all the prophets and from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made unto our father, saying to Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now remember, that is what was said to them. And that could not happen even with the death of Jesus Christ. It took the resurrection. Even then it couldn't happen. It took the Holy Ghost. Baptism. Now watch. Unto you first, God having raised up his Son. First. Then if there's a first, there's got to be a second, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, who knows? You see, you don't know that's exactly right till you go to the Bible and how many times he's raised up. Now, he's got to be raised up to the Gentiles according to Matthew 12. Because in, let's take a look at it. I'm not going to worry about my notes. Forget it. We'll be here for 6, 3, 7, 8 more Sundays. What's the difference? You ain't going no place. I'm going for a vacation. All right, here. Spoken by Isaiah the prophet, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I put my spirit upon him. That's exactly what he did. And then it says, he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Right? He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now listen, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. No way, shape, and form was that to Israel. He stood in the streets. He fought in the streets. He strove in the temple. He lifted his voice. He exhorted. He rebuked. He whipped them. He knocked them down. He stepped over the top of them. The bruised reed he did break. The smoking flax he did quench. People got an idea the law is going to be restored. He said, what for? I don't understand people. I wish God had given me a long temper instead of a short one. But he didn't. Israel had the flesh, we have the Holy Spirit and the name. See, now listen, God raised him up. Yes, from the dead. But he can't raise him up from the dead to you and me. That's been done. So he's raised up here as he was raised up to Israel. He was already raised up and shown as the pillar of fire, the one that came forth and did the great vindicated ministry to prove that he was the one who he said he was. And God was that God that they claimed to worship and didn't even know him. And they met him face to face. Now the same thing happens at the end time here with us. Now the rising of the sun, S-O-N, in the form of the Holy Spirit. Before he was merely the baptizer, you understand, he were getting a little dripping, a little minuscule of the Holy Ghost to unite them back to God, but this is different. The baptism is running out. The baptizer is here. That's not hard to understand. That's Ephesians. All right. Now, we notice that this raising up and coming to the Gentiles is Hebrews 13 and 8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Brother Branham said, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's risen from the dead, he will now do in the form of the Holy Spirit, which he was full of on earth, what he did when he was back there in the flesh. And this was done. Now, everybody wants to take Hebrews 13 and 8 and make it Mark 16. Well, let's take a look at Mark 16. Now, please understand so you don't get your wires crossed. Afterward, he appeared at me, verse 14 to 11, upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said, I'm going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast the devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. They'll drink any deadly thing. It won't hurt them. Lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Now listen, that is not Hebrews 13 and 8 in this hour. Hebrews 13 and 8, as pertaining to Mark 16, has been fulfilled. This is where you go out and do it, because he is the same. Now, he is here and proves he is the same. So don't get all messed up. Every scripture has a compound meaning, and some scripture might have several compounds within it. And Hebrews 13 and 8 must never be abused in this late hour. That's exactly why Brother Branham could say to the Baptist, you didn't even believe in here is the same yesterday and forever. You couldn't even believe that this word held good. Then he said, you Pentecostal, now you're depending on that? That's over. Then it's over for denominations. Billy Graham and his bunch. It's over for Oral Roberts and his bunch. Now you do what you want. I don't care if I ever preach another sermon. I'm not bitter. I ain't getting nowhere. Could my dream on attrition be 100% right? Are the old cells here not being renewed? Is there dying off? Is it all over? I don't know if it's all over. I believe it is, but my believing doesn't mean one cotton picking thing, and you know it. And I'll tell you why later on. We get to the word heresy, if I ever get around it. Thus he is speaking in terms of the resurrection, Brother Branham, the rising of the sun, and he is risen amongst us. And because of the presence of Elohim, and what this means, we have everything laid before us as has never been laid before. So, all right. Keep those things in mind then. We have a law of the compoundness of Scripture, the compound meanings. And I mention that. But of course, that might not mean a thing to you. What's the difference? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. A lot of things I say go on tapes, you know that. And I say for the benefit of you people, that can go many directions. And I say again, I don't believe that many people understand what I'm saying. It is not possible many people understand me because they didn't understand the prophet. And if they don't understand Hebrews 13 and 8, so that you can place it for this hour, and Scripture has to be placed for its hour, or it's dead manna, where are you going? People say, I'm born again. How can you be born again? If you can't take the word of Almighty God. We'll get into that a little later on too. Thus speaking in terms of the resurrection, he's speaking here of the fulfillment in this hour. Everything he is saying. So let's go back again to page 13 now. And we start reading. And I'll just continue till I feel I want to quit, and then that's going to take care of that. I'd like to read a little scripture here for you. I'd like you to turn to another scripture I got written down here. It might help you a little. It's found in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, 9-11 verses. Listen close to the law, Levitical law, God speaking to Moses. Now listen, remember what Moses wrote has got to be fulfilled. And what Moses wrote was in type, and today there is an anti-type. Right? Are you listening? Okay, be very, very alert. Because we aren't fooling. We haven't got time to fool. All these things are in types now. We'll have to stop here a moment to get into this type. Now, what if this morning I don't explain the type to you? Now, you know, the other night I was going to call your bluff. And just see how many could answer my question, I made a rhetorical question instead. What if I should put you on the spot this morning? The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I have given unto you, how many got a bell ringing? I might call your bluff on that, D. You said amen, but I wonder. Rusty, you've got an eagle brain. Oh, I'm just going to get your attention, you people sitting here. When you come into the land, who let it in? Who let it in? Joshua. The book of Joshua and Ephesians comes again. So we are already in our land of promise. Hebrews chapter 6, 13-4, when God made promise to Abraham. Abraham, tell you what I'm going to have you do. Bless God, you're going to get the kingdom if you do this, you do that, the other thing, and I'll lay you down 1,500 laws. Hogwash. He said, come on out, and I'll give it to you. Promise. Now listen. Because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I'll bless thee, multiplying, I'll multiply thee. After he patiently endured, that's all he had to do, obtain the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. When the oath is confirmed, they said, hallelujah, it's mine, glory to God, they got perfect peace. Oh, well, they're crooked lawyer, they come around and get it. Jesus is my lawyer, and he ain't crooked. God is my sovereign seal, and I'm sealed in. How are you going to get me out? Oh, bunch of legalists. Bunch of heretics. When God willing more abundantly shunt the heirs of promise, the immutability's counsel, confirmed it by an oath, intervened or literally interposed himself. He came down and did it in the form of a human being. Then came back and waved himself over the people. Now let's keep reading. We'll go back over here now. Give the land which I've given you. Now listen, unto the place of position I've given unto you. What is our position today? Our position is Ephesus. The baptism with the Holy Spirit running out, justification giving way to sanctification, because listen, the bride is going into a resurrection. Now, before there's a resurrection, there's got to be a death. That's what it means. So the church had to die. Not just individuals, but as a body. Sin of the dark ages. Started out with the first light under justification, gave way to sanctification. That gave way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and now that gives way to the Holy Ghost himself. Ephesians 1:13-14. Ephesians 1:17-23. Brother phoned me the other day, asking me some questions, the minister. He's talking about the Holy Ghost in Ephesians. So I played dumb like a fox. I said, which one are you referring to? What is it, Ephesians 1? I said, there's two in there. 13 and 14 is the baptism. 17 is the little coming of God himself in the Elohim in the form of the pillar of fire. As the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, the revelation of him to bring us to the resurrection. But there's a third one. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. That's not your baptism. That's the Holy Ghost coming down and establishing his word through an ministry that has been divinely elected, beginning with the great prophet Paul, then confirmed in this hour to bring a bride to perfection. That's the pastor Brother Branham spoke of. He'll see you through. He's ordained. Not some money-grubbing lion bird running around. Becoming the Holy Ghost with the people. Now he said, position I've given you. Now you speak to children of Israel. Then when you get to this certain place, I promised you I'd take you. When you get there in this land, now speaking naturally, typing spiritual, shall reap the harvest thereof, and you'll receive what I told you. Thereof you'll bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and you shall wave the sheaf over before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the service shall the priest wave it. Brother Branham, let's retreat it. If there'd be any holy ritual that should come forth in the Sabbath day, that which was the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. But did you notice in this memorial, to wave it on the first day of the week, the sheep that was made of your first seed if you planted. When it comes up and ripens, you cut the sheep down, take the priest. Let him take it, wave it before the Lord for your acceptation, if you are accepted. Alright now, there's a wave offering. There's adoration. There's two words when it comes to wave offering. Each case is just a little bit different. The two words are used in this one too. One is when you kind of vibrate up and down to the side and all, showing the process is no doubt of death going through. The other is waved over the congregation, which is a little different manner. I don't understand it all. I don't go into type, so therefore I don't worry much about it. But going back to the book of Exodus, would be about the 29th chapter. You'll see in there that those were wave offerings that had nothing to do with this wave offering. But you don't have to worry about it. Exodus, what, 29, about verse 24, somewhere in there. Aaron, they had wave offerings there, but this is entirely different. This is the sheep. All right. Now remember, this comes after the blood sacrifice. So, our Christ has been accepted. You come with your sheep, he used to wave it before the Lord in the Sabbath. The seventh day, but on the first day, which we call S-U-N-D-A-Y, Sunday. Of course, that's a Roman word for the son of the God, the sun god. How it's changed, it's not S-U-N anymore, it's S-O-N-D-A-Y. The S-O-N-D-A-Y, that the corn of wheat, God first went up from the dead, is to be waved over the congregation, that we are his seed. And that's the first of the seeds of those that slept waved upon the first day of the week. Now listen, how does he say that he was waved upon Israel by standing there and doing it? Then how is he waved upon us, the same one in the Spirit standing here and doing it? Proving the complete acceptability of the sacrifice. that the blood perfects the bride. And this is a consummation of promise. Because remember, it started with promise. The Word of God started with promise. The seed of the woman. Therefore, it ends with it. Now, on Sunday, he raised up, waved goodbye, ascended up on high in the presence of the people. Notice, it was the first corn of God's wheat that had been raised from the dead. God's first corn of wheat, by God's quickening power. God had quickened his life, raised him up from the dead, that he was the first fruit of those that slept, first fruit. He was that sheep. That's why they had to wave that sheep. It was the first one that came to maturity. It was waved as a memorial of thanksgiving to God, believing that the rest of them would come. And it was a sign. Now watch what it said. It was waved as a memorial of thanksgiving to God, believing that the rest of them would come. Now some have already come. When he was raised up, a bunch were raised up with him. And it says it was a sign, that wave offering. And today, not yesterday, not at Pentecost, not before Pentecost, now. Because he was the first son of God to come to full maturity being God. He was plucked up from the earth and waved over the people. That's to the Gentiles. We're not dealing in type anymore. We're dealing in a true antitype. Because the second half of the resurrection's about to be. That's the first resurrection. The first one, although he'd been typed in many times. As we'll see later that he was typed. But this is really the first fruit of them that slept. He was waved over the promised seed that had promised a life. He was waved at the day of Pentecost when there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, and waved over the people, the Pentecostal people that was up at Pentecost waiting for the blessing to come. And to be waved again, we realize in the last day, according to Luke 17 and 30, in the S-O-N-D-A-Y again, when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, Brother Branham said you got to give back to God the right thing. Remember Hattie Wright, Hattie Mosier, sat there and she said, Brother Branham, that's nothing but the truth. And he said, because you said exactly the right thing, you can have what you want. Now that's very good as an illustration. That's very good in the prophet's presence, but it doesn't hold for you and me, because how do we know that's our lot, that we're going to have it? But he did say in the doctrine, you've got to give the right thing back to God, and he's preaching on Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. Now, if you don't recognize the Son of Man today, you're unfinished. You're over. Pray all you want, do what you want. I'm sorry. Now, that sounds rough, but I can't help it. I got to stay with the vindicated prophet. See? Now, in the days of the Son of Man will be revealed or waved over the people again. So the waving is the manifestation, the proof of the resurrection, the proof of the promise, the proof of the hour. What more do you want to stand on than what a prophet said? Now he said, if you're the perfect righteous bride of the Son of Almighty God, then that's it. If he said the shuck was separating wheat, when you say, I'm my father one, start saying it. Of course, be on dot, but bring it for the time he's supposed to say it. All right, listen. Now, who is the Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word is with God, the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's fine, that happened. And all of the teaching that we have and confirmation of the Word of God by the Word of God, by signs and wonders we see today, that in the book of Luke here, that as we have just quoted, Luke 17, chapter verse 30, Malachi 4, and all the different scriptures we're acquainted with, that the Word again is waved over the people. The same one. He's telling you what happened. And remember, the Word that came to flesh went back to a pillar of fire. And the pillar of fire whirled over the people. Oh, it's over the sister. It's over the brother. It's here. Whirled over the people. And Albuquerque, I believe it was, or Santa Fe, I forget which one. You'll hear at the end of the tape, Brother Bansett licks the fire in everybody's head. People getting the Holy Ghost out there. Well, if they did, they better be in the mess, I can tell you that. Because God's not divided. Satan's not divided and God's not divided. Both one body. Two bodies, they. If you belong to Satan, you ain't going to get in Christ. If you belong to Christ, you ain't going to get in Satan. All right, listen. that the word again is waved over the people, that the dead traditions of man death forever, and the Son of God is alive again with the baptism of the Holy Spirit right amongst us and is giving us life. When Christ is our life shall appear, we shall also appear with Him in glory. What is this? He's talking about the end time life, which is resurrection and the changing. Now, I read that on page 1019, was it? Maybe 1020, the church order. Now the day of Pentecost, it came down. That pillar of fire broke apart like that. Tongues of fire sat upon each of them. Not their tongues, but tongues of fire sat on each of them. Elected group identified with the pillar of fire, showing that God has separated Himself into men. Do you get it? God the Logos separated Himself into men. God not in one person. He's in His church universal. That's the reason Jesus said, the works I do, also you'll do more. Compound meaning. Certainly thousands and millions of people do more works. But then it comes down to the end time, where Mark 16 is running out. The baptism and the gifts. And He Himself is here, and through a prophet. Nobody has done the works outside of Jesus Christ, an end-time prophet does. Hebrews 13 and 8. John 14 and 12. The whole thing coming into being. Listen, until this time He was bottled up in the church universal. He was all of Him. Now come He's here in a pillar of fire. All these men got ministries. How come William Branham revealing the Son of Man, the ministry of Son of Man and the Holy Ghost coming to him, could stand here, and there's one person who could stand in William Branham's presence, and all of them put together. Come on, don't get your wires crossed up, brother, sister. People still don't understand presence. They don't know what I'm talking about. They're still back in Pentecost. I'm sorry for them, but look, I'm not God. My job's not to do God's job. He does His own. I'm doing mine, what He told me to do. Now listen, don't miss this one. You see? Watch it. The next paragraph. If Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets. Why is He a prophet? Because God is in the prophets. They couldn't rise. God had to be in this one the way He wasn't in any of the rest of them. Because the rest of them weren't in His position. And so forth. Although touched in many places, He was the first fruits of those dead. Now listen, as Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets, and so forth, in the bride coming of Christ. Now you see, I can lose you right there. Because they changed horses midstream. I pointed you to one door and hit another door. Unless you're listening. Because in one place we're talking about resurrection, in the next place we're talking about a coming. And I've got news for you. The bride coming is a resurrection. You listen? You follow me? I lost you. Thanks, Alice. You're honest. Anybody else is honest with you? You're not. Let's go over this again. You understand. It isn't as hard as you think it is, but look, you can miss it very easily. As Christ was the first one to raise from the prophets, that then becomes the subject of the sentence. And so therefore your mind is fixed on a raising. Is that right? So therefore when you talk about the coming, you, without meaning to, because resurrection and second coming are two different subjects, your mind, without you meaning to let it slip, slips right over to a wrong channel. Keep it in the original channel. We're talking about a resurrection. So therefore, the bride coming of Christ, bride coming of Christ, is not a coming as you understand the coming. It's a coming out of. Not a coming down and a coming up. It's not a healthy, the height to the depth,
or the depth to the height, which is altitude, which is vertical, it's on the horizontal. So, the vertical comes down to the horizontal, which is the present. This brings the bride out. And it's a bride coming to the promised land hour. Were you under promise? See? That's your resurrection spiritual. Now let's watch it. As Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets. Naturally. And you got to go to prophets because that's where it was. Now let's understand this, people. I want to be very sweet and very nice. Everybody but a prophet is a dodo. Little dumb dodo. Shut your big fat mouth because you sold your soul into hell. Because you don't know how big your soul is and how big your mind is if you give it over to God. But no, you got to think your own stupid little thoughts. It was not addressed to the people here. As to those out there who say they believe this, they no more believe than nothing. They're still heretics. Wait till we get the heretic. I haven't got there yet. Oh, we've got an hour and a half, 2, 4, 5 hours. That's good. Your clock isn't dead. What's your clock saying? Ha ha! Forgot to change the clock. I knew someone had come to my help. Lord, all help cometh from the Lord. As Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth, in the bride coming of Christ coming out of the church, there'll have to be a sheep waved again in the last days. The same one bringing us out. Our Joshua is the Holy Ghost. We are in the land. Now we're giving back to God what was waved over us, which is an indisputable, verified, vindicated word. Holy Ghost inspired and full of dynamics, not mechanics, but dynamics. Notice, therefore, there's a special designation, the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church. So therefore, it's no longer in the church. It's now mutual. They didn't want a thing to do with him, and now he doesn't want a thing to do with them. Fair enough. Some people don't understand marriage and divorce that way. Some men can think they treat their wives like a hunk of dirt. And then when they come back, she's supposed to love, 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 and forgive him for he's hurt him, everything else. And the woman thinks she can treat the man like dirt. And she's got to just wiggle her finger and he'll come back. She said, I used to know he's my wife. I don't know he's my wife anymore. Trying to find something here. What is I wanting to find? I know what I wanted to find. They got it marked here, but I didn't put the page down. It's all right. Very strange how you can see a thing just in the spur of the moment. And, of course, you lose your spurs and you got to walk. That's exactly what happened here. I want to find out where Brother Bannon made a statement here on the judge. Well, I'll get it. We'll get it later. Anyway, that's what the judge does. He makes the difference. All right. Waving of the sheep. What was the sheep? The first one that come to maturity. The first one that proved it was the wheat. That proved it was the sheep. Hallelujah. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. It was waved over the people. When did God reach down and wave a man over the people? Well, this was not waved before the Lord. This was waved over the people. What was? That waved over the people. Living word. Okay?
It was waved over the people. And for the first time, there will come forth for the bright age, for a resurrection out of dark denominationalism, will be a message that the full maturity of the word has turned back again in its full power and being waged over the people by the same signs and wonders that were back there, John 12 and 14 and 12. In other words, like something wages, like a banner, it's an ensign. The Lord shall raise up a banner, the Lord shall raise up a standard, the enemy coming in like a flood. When churches would take over, God would have to destroy. He came and sent Elijah and himself came. And wages indisputable, invincible evidence over the people. He it was himself. Fruit it was, fulfilling his word. Then if the word is fulfilled, what are we into? The ushering into the millennium, into the resurrection. My God, I don't know what people are waiting for. Looking down the road, looking down the road, looking down the road. Trying to raise up an eighth prophet, trying to raise this. Let me tell you something, they're going to be sitting here. Now listen, let's read it again. Now watch. You see, if you punctuate this, as Brother Branham's sermon is like the Bible. Oh, forget it. Read again. It was waved over the people, and the first time there will come forth for the bright age, for a resurrection out of dark denomination. It'll be a message that the full maturity of the word has come back again in its full power, and being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back there, because I live, you live also. Speaking to his wife, that's what he's telling us. He said, ain't I alive? Yep. Then you're alive. Oh, no, no wonder about that. Let me see now. What did he really mean? Oh, yes. Heretics. Bunch of heretics. Right. We'll find out. Wait till I read definition. Because you live, because I live, you live also. What a resurrection that was! How long is Egypt going to be in the people in Babylon? I'm not talking about gifts and fruit and moralities and all those things. I'm talking now about the fact they had a yearning. They were pining to go back to Egypt where they had the leeks and the garlics and the goodies. The word murmur means to repine. Repine means to talk about the good old days. You know, we never had a good. Don't talk about me about good old days. I used to go downtown years ago in the good old days that you know nothing about. And in the good old days, I could take a Democrat, which you wouldn't anybody either. And for $5, buy a Democrat or a wagon load of groceries. But I didn't have the $5. Now I go down and get a little bag for $80, and I got the $80. Hallelujah! Don't talk to me about your dear, wonderful place. I don't repine for any of it. I'm so happy. I'm beginning to see the things that Brother Branham talked about. I'm so happy in the love of God, the nurture of the Holy Ghost, the wisdom and wonderment of His Word. Don't tell me to go back and have to. Oh, I'm living on the manna from a bountiful supply. I'm not back in Egypt with a hunk of cornball pie, because that's exactly what it is. None of that junk. And what a resurrection this is, to be quickened from the dead, to be made alive in Jesus Christ by God's quickening power. So, well, Brother, I don't understand, Brother Bill. See what it was? I was dead in my sins and I got born. Ah, you ain't born again, honey, talking like that. You don't even know the Bible. He said, except I send Elijah, just destroy everything. Root, lock, stock, and barrel. You know, there was a time when he said to Moses, you step aside. He thought you'd eliminate him. We'll start all over again. It'd be a slow process, but I can get there without that bunch of people in your way. Moses said, no way. But we tell, when it came to that word, it's a different story. He said, if they died death common to men, you didn't even send me. Oh, I'm going to tell you, you can be full of pity and love and anything else. And he said, listen, you can explode with generosity and beauty and everything. Be my guest. It's exploded on me. I love it. But don't try to take me off the word.
Now that I don't have any love, I'm sorry. Yeah. How nice was that neighbor then Dayton there that the fellow thought was a nice Christian boy? Oh, I'm sure the little girl could go over there, a nice little kid, 11 years old, but I guess she was raped and then killed. Do you like that kind of stuff? Be my guest. Where was the word? Now, the devil is the devil, and he is a devil. And God is God, and he is a God. So there's no, you can't compare to anything else. He was weighed to them. The word which he was weighed back to them the day of Pentecost. What does it matter if it's impressed? The evidence of. He's not saying, now listen, you Methodist, bless God, that Bible you got ain't no Bible. And you Baptist, that ain't no Bible. That ain't no word. He doesn't say that. So listen carefully. Now, for instance, what if we're going back to Tucson this afternoon now, and each one of us has grown a big Cadillac, brand new, and all seats made of doe skin, the soft leather is easy, then floorboards like plush right engine, all bearings greased up, tires puncture proof, everything, you know. They both have been pushed off the assembly line, both filled up with gasoline. That's the running power of the gasoline, cuts the octanes in there. And now when you're going to start, both just alike, look alike, there's one of them doesn't have any spark, no firing power. Well, he said, the power's in the gasoline, Brother Branham. I don't care how much power's in the gasoline. I don't know what word you've got in your church. Absolutely, it's the Word of God. You read it every Sunday morning. You sing like we do here. We sing the Word of God. We pray the Word of God. We shout the Word of God. Everything is. I don't care. Go ahead. Go ahead. Unless there's a spark to manifest the power, unless there's a power to confirm that that's the gasoline, it just might as well be water. Might as well be water. Okay? Okay, there's got to come another Ephesus. He said right here. He said, now you got the Holy Ghost you claim to do. He said, now cease not to give thanks and make mention of you in my prayers. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Dynamics. And if you ain't got it, you ain't got it. If that spirit is not honored and recognized, oh, they hate the word proof. They hate the word presence. Well, that's wonderful. The gates of hell are supposed to. What am I supposed to do? I got a bad back. I ain't reaching down to kiss anybody's foot. If I did, they'd only kick me in the chops anyway. Yeah. So they don't now sit here. They don't get to it. And when you get the revelation, what's the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? That power has not been loosed in the church to this moment. And you can't get it any other way. Oh, preach the word. Hallelujah. He rose Sunday morning, said the Baptist. Nazareth, Bethany, and a whole bunch. But not to them. Judgment. Do what you want. I don't care. If I go to the lake of fire for preaching this, I might as well go with bells on. Why do you say the power's in the gasoline, Brother Branham? I don't care how much power's in the gasoline. Now, this is a spark there to manifest that power, unless there's a power there to confirm that fat gasoline. To confirm that it is the gasoline. Do you know, brother, sister, gasoline can go dead, right? Not very good, gets sour, right? Foul up your plugs and everything else. That's right, I understand that's true. They messed my cupboard putting the wrong proportion of alcohol in the gas. Still messed up. Used to run like a sewing machine. You haven't got a sewing machine? Does your sewing machine have to get warmed up to really take off? No, just my car's got to warm up. No more sewing machine. And you know what? The gas company is just like with that OPEC and all that combine here, it's just like the churches. They say you ain't going to run unless you run with our gas. Ha! Then I'll sit down. No matter how much the theologians claim, how well you got your church set, how much education you got, how much like the Bible, until that way sheep. Now he's talking about resurrection, the rising of the sun.
Right. So now let's not get us taught way out here in the field and way back in former theology and in former sermons and in former ideas. We're sitting up here, the table's lavishly spread, beautiful linen, lovely accoutrements, the most wonderful fruit in the world been stored up on taste for us. And we sit here and we say, now, if I just had some of my dear old mother's bread, what's your mother's bread like? Well, don't ask the kid. He thought he should ask the neighbor. He said, least sourest lump of lead ever ate in my life. But he said he got used to it. So we're not talking about the word that was dynamized under Luther and Wesley and Pentecost. We're talking now. They couldn't have a resurrection. Much education got how much like the Bible until that way sheep, until the Holy Spirit comes upon that person to quicken that word. The gasoline represents the word, it's the truth, but without the Spirit it won't move. The Baptist died years ago. Pentecost died years ago. We're the only one living. Nothing outside this message comes to life. You do what you want. We put too much stress on the mechanics and nothing on the dynamics. Now, Pentecost said, hallelujah, we got the gifts, glory to God, we got dynamics. Judas raised the dead, too. There's got to be a time, brother, sister, when word as to the definitive definition and the definitive manifestation comes together, or it ain't the word. That's now. That's now. Because you see, remember, when Brother Branham opened the seals, you can't seal it. But when he opened the seals, it automatically sealed itself. You can't add to it or take away. Tied. Yeah? You put too much stress in mechanics, nothing damage. You need the dynamic power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ upon the church, to manifest and bring that this is gasoline. It might be gasoline can. It could still be water still, but only the proof that it is. Put the life on it. It'll prove whether it's gasoline or not. In other words, if a church turns down the manifested spiritual life that's manifested before, it'll get nowhere. Only the bride has that light. Now let's prove the thoughts in paragraph 2. And when you try to put the Holy Spirit in any denomination, you're trying as much as trying to notice. He said, put the Holy Spirit in a denomination. He doesn't say an individual. He said denomination. Now the Roman Catholic Church, oh, hallelujah. You Pentecostal people ask, how does the Holy Spirit feel amongst us Catholics? Why, he feels right at home. And I said, baloney. Listen, neither is the Holy Spirit in the Branhamite group. It's in the bride as individual. That's why I say I don't see time and space anymore. I see the concreteness of this whole thing. Now let's see who's going to know. We're talking about a group getting away from here. Now he hits the individual and he hits the group. And when he hits the group, you know you ain't got a prayer, because that's denomination. Cult and God knows what. But there is a bride. Oh, I hope you get to understand, brother, sister. Individuals as individual members make up a many-member singular body. Two thumbs. 8 more fingers. Couple of wrists. Ankle bones. A whole bit. Constitute one body with trillions of cells. even that lymph that's running in our body here, and that all that serum and all that, those are cells. Aren't they? Yeah. But you like me here. And everyone is a microcosm, so to speak, of the universe, as far as I'm concerned. And if you aren't a microcosm of him to begin with, you are not going to come back in the first resurrection and either be restored in the second. It couldn't be. Because every seed the Father did not plant has got to go down the drain, my brother and my sister. Let's be honest with ourselves. Serpent seed can't make it. I don't even know who serpent seed is, and I care less. I'm just glad that that I feel in my soul that I'm somewhere near the original. Now, when you try to put the Holy Spirit in denomination, you're trying, well, you get a splutter. They speak in tongues and all. Even the Pope. But I'm so glad there's 10,000 octane power, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost to light it up, and to resurrect the power of God into a man's life, a woman's life, or into the church. Individual through the group. That shoved that Cadillac down the road yonder on the damning power of the Holy Ghost, which came back and was waved over the people of the day of Pentecost, making them the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13 and 8. That's not seven church ages. Hebrews 13 and 8 through 7 church ages in Mark 16. And it continues. But this is different. You understand what I'm saying? Look, if you write your questions down on a piece of paper, bring them to church next time around. Listen. There was the first sheep come up from all the prophets. Notice again, from all the prophets. Why? Because the prophets had the word. And the word was to the people. And the people were in flesh. The seed was upon the earth. And if it wasn't on the earth, God couldn't do a thing. Right? So therefore we came this way. Human beings. Now the word was in the prophets. And the word is for you and me. So therefore it's got to be proven. Is this the one that the prophet spoke of? Yeah.
Amen.
It comes right up amongst them. Proving they weren't speaking their own word. The best they could do with their own word was marry a woman and breed by her. This is not that. Not of the flesh, nor the will of man, nor of blood, but of God. So, but they brought it. Then he being raised proved it for us. Waved over the congregation, sealed it in. Waved over us now, takes us in. In other words, seven church ages have not been in vain. Our living has not been in vain. Rag tattle bunch are going to make it. Hallelujah. First chief up among the prophets, which was the Son of God, the King of all the prophets. What's he telling you? The King is here. The Judge is here. Oh, man, I don't know why I'm so dumb. I can't find that one here. Try to be on the right-hand side of the page, too. Unless I looked at the wrong book. To wait for him. All right. There have been churches, brides, churches, brides. But there's got to come one. Hallelujah. There has got to come a real bride. There must come what's not only got the mechanics, but the dynamics of it. Makes that church live, move in the power of the resurrection. Now, seven church ages, see, have gone by. You're at the end time. Until we come to that place, until we find that place, what good's it do to polish the hubs? What good's it do to give a face-lifting Simonized job? When there's no dynamics in it, no matter how much the mechanics prove to be right, there's got to be dynamics to make it work. That's what he proved, hallelujah. All right, when that word, proven, waved over us, and we received entirely identified for resurrection, not for the start, but for the finish, this is not, I pronounce you man and wife. This is 60 years over, older, down the road when the good marriage is all over, and you're looking at the casket, and you say, hey, that was sure a good marriage. No longer pronounce man and wife. That was way back there. Pentecost was way back there. That wasn't resurrection. This is resurrection. This is the end of the marriage and the vows. This is homecoming in heaven week. I used to know you as my wife. I don't know his wife anymore. This is the one I got. She's in the chamber with me. I'd like to get in there. Well, there's no way. You got to be like him. Until we come to that place. All right. That's what he proved. Hallelujah. That's what Easter proved. He wasn't only the Word, but he was God himself, the dynamics in the Word that made the body of Jesus Christ, cold, stiff, and dead in the grave, shake into life and rise again and roll away the stone. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're really rolling away the stones of our mind. The battle of Armageddon is going on. We're putting it more and more away from us. And the cold, stiff immobility is giving way to the life that is the life that's in the Word, which is the life there in the pillar of fire. Here to bring his Word to pass so we become the living Word. Don't carry that too far. That's also a position. Everybody think I'm the living word. I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to have a big, great big tent. Have this big thing. Oh, shut up. Get out of here. I never did see a graveyard yet that they had a hula hula dance or something going on. This is resurrection hour. This is death everywhere in the land. The last plague is spiritual death. Death, 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 death. And the biggest thing is death to your thoughts. I'll tell you, if you don't die to your thoughts, you'll be just like those 10 spies who entered Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb and Joshua, the only ones alive with the dynamism of the Holy Ghost, could see the grapes and everything for what they were. They said, hallelujah, I've got a taste of this. Ain't no way we're going to fool around anymore. We're coming in. Why, those guys are bread for us. We're going in. And they said, oh, come on, shut up. Kept the poor people up 40 more years, whatever it was. I don't know. Your thoughts have got to go. Either he is here to raise the dead or he is not. In plain English. I am he that was dead. So dead till the sun said he was dead, the moon said he was dead, the stars said there's a blackout. What was the blackout about? He died. What was his blackout in New York, Brother Banzai? Church is dead. Two blackouts in New York and a brownout in Texas. Can't beat them. Now the whole world is to recognize he's alive again. He was not only the mechanics, he was the dynamics to prove it. Now notice he goes back and forth. Back there the proof, down here the proof. And if he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him. Then if he manifested now, we've got to manifest. It is resurrection. The empowering word at this moment weighs over us. We're going. So I better clean up. Be my guest. Clean up for me too, will you? Do a good job. Go down to the abattoir. That's a slaughterhouse. Let them clean you up real good. Maybe use you for casings for sausage or something. Be surprised many worms you still got left. I ask you a question. What have you put into God? What can you put into your salvation? What can you put into this? Nothing but yourself. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Rock of ages, cleft me, let me hide myself in thee. And those waters are high, brother, sister, says every foundation that's not built upon rock is going to take that house down with him. The man that built upon rock upon the house, which is the actual revelation of the word of Almighty God, the storms came, the squeeze came down, everything came down. You were rooked, you were crooked. And a lot of what we asked for. But there's got to be somebody going to help us. Either he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him. Remember, that's why he couldn't kill Abraham. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all revelations, any other, of all, let me get this right here. And if he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's a part of him. That's true. So if he's manifested, we gotta be. If he came forth, we gotta come forth, right? And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all of revelations, any others that spoke of the bride. In other words, at the same time, everything that has to do with the bride is being fulfilled now. Everything. And it can only manifest. And if it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride, because she's flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, life is life, power of his power, she is him. As a man and wife are one, the woman taken from his side, she has taken his spirit, feminine spirit from him, the flesh from his side, made both mechanics and dynamics, the wife, the spirit of him and the flesh of him, have been made together, mechanics and dynamics. Well, see, I better start reading at this point, I think, rather than someplace else. Spoken words, original seed. I have to read this because, you see, when anybody hears this right away, the people that rush for this are manifested sons. Say, oh, we're going to move mountains. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to renovate the earth. Glory to God. Great big thing coming. Hallelujah. It's already come and gone.
Praise the Lord.
All right, now watch. All right, now here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction brings forth of its kind. Genesis 1:11. These last days, true church bride comes to the headstone. Yeah? Interesting. Will be the super church, a super race as they near the great headstone. Just keep thinking. They'll be much, so much like him, even they will be in his very image in order to be united with him. Well, you know that's 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter and 4th. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. We're talking about resurrection, aren't we? End time. Denominations can never produce this. So he is not in the church. He is in the bride. He is the word, in the word. The word is in the bride. The life is in the bride, so the bride is the blood of God. Take any way you want to go, the bride becomes a terribly mysterious and wonderful being. All those things Brother Branham said, so I'm not quoting off my head. Predominations can never produce this. They will be, they'll produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the word and bring a hybrid party. Now they won't get off the ground. Now, what's a hybrid trotty? It's illegitimate. What's the illegitimate? An illegitimate is not two people having a son outside of wedlock. It is where a Hebrew married a Gentile and had a child. That's illegitimate. So the church took the word, false church, and the word wasn't dynamized. So they dynamized it by their own theories and thinking, and they brought forth their hybrid. They'll never get off the ground. Won't do it. The first son was spoken seed word of God. He was given a bride. A bride to produce himself. She fell. Brides are given to produce the man, another son of God. She fell by hybriding. Produced himself, but she fell, caused him to die. The second son, a spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like Adam, but before he could marry her, she had fallen also, for she was put to free moral agency like Adam's bride was. Now, what's the free moral agency was? To believe God's word and live or doubt it and die. Power of choice in the soul, right? All right, from that little group, from a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ, a beloved bride, a virgin of his word. And through them and by them will be fulfilled all that has been promised for his word in the virgin, who knows no man-made creed or dogmas. That's right. Because if there's a man-made creed or doctrine there taking the place of the word, that part's missing, and God will not put up with some slut. Make it plain English. No way. Priests couldn't even have part of a toe missing and stand before God. You had to be 100% whole man and thoroughly productive and virile. So is the bride, because they're sons. You got to watch your types. All together with the woman, individually men. And through them and by them be fulfilled all that's been promised in the word for his word in the virgin, who knows no man made creeds and dogmas. The word of promise in himself, like it was in Mary. God himself made manifest. He will act himself by his own word of promise so as to fulfill all that has been written of him, as he did when he came from the virgin womb, type of the Spirit now. So will the virgin now accepting his word. Be it unto me as thou hast said, though it was said by an angel, while it was yet written word, Isaiah 9:6. They will love him or love his and have his potential, for he is their head, they are his subjects. Subject the head, headship is the Christ. So when you read this up here, this is what you got to know. You cannot take a portion of anything Brother Branham said and isolate it from the theme or the doctrine that is in continuity on a subject or a part of a subject. So you got to watch this here. Notice what harmony. Jesus never did a thing until seen of the Father. The Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See John 5:19. So the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. You're not going to lose. What water? The water out of the eastern gate, Ezekiel's temple, that carries you right over to the tree of life. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride, in the mind of Christ, to know what he wants done to the word, and she does it in his name. Therefore, she has thus saith the Lord. And so that, do you see what I'm reading? Okay, I don't read any further because there wouldn't be any point there. I want you to know here, don't go running afoul and running astray of taking this to one side and say, well, I'll tell you what, the bride has got the word, and he said, but the bride, well, hey, you know, she's just going to do his works. she's going to believe him in this hour of promise. What works could Abraham do? The day of working is over. It's resting. It's relaxing time. It's not that you don't fight your flesh and everything else and do these things that are a little tedious. It's not that. I'm talking of what's in here now in a group to be taken off the earth, and it wasn't there before. Please get your minds off of what you've had. Get it now on what you've got. Because if you don't, you're not going to get. I'm not going to get anywhere. You're not going to get anywhere. Yeah. Six or seven more sermons. That's it. We got to page 18. Oh, I was going to get you to page 30, but you know, didn't find it that interesting. So try to get that far in that big a time. So let's rise. Let's find out. With the help of God, we'll start Wednesday. I don't know what we can do. Heavenly Father, we love you today because there's just no way we couldn't love you. There's no way, Lord, we couldn't marvel at the word you give us. And to come against the gates of hell, Lord, to come against all temptation and all devious things and stand with, we know at least what the prophet had, O God, what was vindicated. And Lord God, we claim you're the God of that word, and we claim that that word is your word. And we stand and believe in faith now, Lord, that there's a bride out here somewhere. And if we're not bride, she's out here just the same. And by your grace, we won't stand in her way because we'll come up in the second resurrection. At least hopefully we're going to get that far. But we believe, Lord, we'll be in that first resurrection somehow by grace because not we're looking at disgrace, Lord, but we're looking at amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It was the sound of your voice that the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Absolutely, and it came down to us, the amazing grace of Almighty God in a word that said, I call you not church, but I call you spotless, purchased bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Call you Mrs. Jesus, call you Messiah. Put you right in the place. Lord, how wonderful to know this is where we stand, and we're so grateful our stand is in you. Now be with each one present, O God. Go with each one, we pray. Bless every home represented here. May the sick amongst us all be healed. May the glory of God descend upon us. May we know as we've never known before. Not that we just want to get out of here in flowery beds of ease or don't want this tear down or that tear down. But, Lord, it would be just be the realization of it that we're just that much closer. Just that much closer, that much closer. Because we know that this Spirit that's been here all these years to prove the resurrection is now here, the resurrection himself, and the mightiest proof of all, Elohim, who raises the dead. I kill and I make alive. Right now, life is going on. But you did it your own way and doing your own way. And Lord, we're standing here. Lord, just do it. Do it your way, Lord, because our way isn't worth a snap. It isn't worth anything. It's nothing but a hindrance. It's a mess. Lord, it's not a jug of wine. Lord, it's a jug of poison, a jug of prussic acid, that's all we are. But Lord, you can turn that prussic acid into wine. You can make us fruitful, lovely, and you will. All these things, Lord, we have hope of because of you and ourselves. No way but in you we have that hope. So, Father, go with each one of us. Guide, protect us, keep us. Bring us together again. May the mercy and grace of God rest and abide upon us day by day and more, Heavenly Father. Mellow us all the way down. Whatever it takes, Lord, we're in your hands. We look for thee, O God, to hasten us with that great day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. Let's sing, We'll Walk in the Light.
We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. What where did you drop commerce? Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Okay, take the name of Jesus with you.